So again, I'd like to say welcome to everyone to our daily devotional. It is great to see all of you that are live here in person with me, and certainly if you happen to be joining us at some point in the future, you are welcome as well. Now, today we come to a difficult section to read. And it's difficult for a lot of different reasons. It's difficult because we see Israel's heart on display. We see that yet again, they are not trusting in the Lord. And we see that yet again, disaster befalls them as a result. But we also come to a difficult section today because what we hear from God sort of butts up against American Christianity, and really not just American Christianity, worldwide religion at this point. What do I mean? Well, we'll see that as we go along. We're in Judges chapter 10, so if you're not there, go ahead and turn there with me. Judges chapter 10. Yesterday we saw the stories of Tola and Jair, right? Tola has very, very little written about him other than he was the one that God rose up to save Israel and he was faithful. Jair also has very little written about him, but we get the hint that things are not going well with Jair, that there is... yes, my lab rats this morning. That's right, Nick. If you can see the comment, you'll know what he's talking about. But nevertheless, with Jair, you get the idea that Israel is starting to turn away from God again. And that really bears itself out in where we come to today, which is Judges chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 6, and we're not going to even get to Jephthah. If your Bible has those little nifty headings that are important but not inspired, then you'll see that Jephthah is next. We'll get to him actually tomorrow, but we're going to read the precursor. We're going to see what's going on here with the Israelites. It says, chapter 10, verse 6, book of Judges. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I should have been counting up to this point how many times this phrase is used. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Y'all, it's this paradigm that we've got going on, right? It's the cycle of the judges that you can see on display. But this time it's different. The ante is upped, as it were. Things are increasing in wickedness. So, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtoreths and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistine. Pause for a second. Do you get the idea of what the author is doing here? In other words, Israel is serving anything and anyone except the one true God. Continues on in verse 6. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan and Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim. And Israel was in great distress. Then Israel cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." Now it's interesting the way this language is divided up here. You might say, "Oh, well, that's great. Israel's repenting." But did you catch what they actually said? "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." There's nothing personal left, is there? They're referring to the God of Israel. They certainly address him. But they're simply referring to this God that has fought their battles for them, this God that has delivered them time and time again. He's compartmentalized in Israel's existence. It's almost like, look, we know that we stepped out of line. Y'all, this is a difficult thing. especially difficult in light of the next verse. It says, "The Lord replied, 'When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble.'" Now, what's going on here? Well, realize first off that God always knows the heart. Okay? When the Israelites have cried out to him here in our passage, when they've said in verse 10, "We've sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals," God knows what this really is going on here. The Israelites have sunk to the level that so much of modern Christianity has sunk to, which is to envision God as some sort of benevolent genie out there, that you can mess up all you want and you can do whatever you want, but then he's always waiting, wringing his hands, as it were, just hoping that one day maybe you might throw a glance his way. And when you do, then he's just going to whoosh in and he's going to make everything okay again. You see, what we find out here, especially from God's response to the Israelites, you might say, well, what about God being forgiving? Remember the paradigm for forgiveness. The Lord does not despise a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Repentance is required for forgiveness. And y'all, there's a big difference in being sorry and in repenting. Sorry has lots of different connotations. You can be sorry that you got caught, right? I know there's been times when I've just been sorry that I've been caught, or sorry. You can be sorry that you're facing the consequences for terrible decisions. But the issue is not whether you're sorry over what's happening to you, as if you are the main object of the entire universe's existence. The issue is, do you love the Lord? Are you repentant? Do you have a desire for right relationship with the Lord? And if the answer to that is no, I don't, then the issue is that your confessions, your cries for help, all of those things fall flat. Because again, if you're crying to the Lord out of just a sense of consequence, out of, oh, well, my life isn't going like I want it to go, so I need to, y'all, come on. Remember what the Lord has called us to do. Yes, rely on him, but at the core of our relationship is to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. And from every indication in the text where we come to today, Israelite cries out to God. Make no mistake about it. They've been oppressed for 18 years. But they're not really repentant. Because though they ask God for help, we don't have any indication thus far that they've done anything about these false gods and goddesses. They haven't done anything about their idols. They're just in trouble. And so they pretend to care a whole lot about God now. Well, God said to them, as we just read, hey, you don't have any use for me. How about this? And I'm paraphrasing, of course. All these gods and goddesses that you've run off to worship, why don't you let them save you? You know, this harkens back to Gideon's father when everybody wanted to kill Gideon for tearing down the altar to Baal. And basically his father said, this God, all right, fine, let the God defend himself. Let Baal contend. That's what Gideon's given name or name that he was given afterward meant. Let Baal contend. He said, if Baal's so strong, he can defend himself. Why do you have to do his dirty work? Well, basically what God is saying to the people here is, all these gods and goddesses you've run after, let them save you. They're the ones that are so great, right? Verse 15. But the Israelites said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now. Then verse 16. This is the difference. Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the sovereign Lord. And he could bear Israel's misery no longer. Y'all, our devotional thought is short for today. Short because after this you transition and there's a lot of text to deal with. But that's okay because it's good to have a short devotional every once in a while. I have to ask you, do you realize who this God is? This God of the Bible. This God that time and time and time again, I tell you to trust in Jesus Christ alone. There are many things that can be said of God, many descriptors that can be given, many warnings that can be given. But one I would give now is that God is no one to be trifled with. He's not the girl that you can call on any time to get a date after you strike out on every other front. He's not the standby meal that you keep in the freezer after you haven't figured out what you wanted to go get from the drive-thru. No. He's a jealous God. And he's jealous not only because of who he is and that none are beside him, none can match him. He's jealous because he loves us that much and he knows what's best for us. And when we turn away from him and when we live as though he is not important, sometimes in his love, he indulges us in that and we face the consequences for it. But when turning back to God, and when desiring right relationship with God, this comes down to the old adage that talk is cheap. Because any of us can say, oh, I'm sorry, I feel terrible, I'm sorry. But y'all, if you're doing the very thing that you say that you're sorry for, are you really sorry? If I came to your house to steal your car, and you just happened to walk in on me in the garage with a Slim Jim getting the door open, or maybe you don't even lock it. Maybe you can see me. I reached in your house and grabbed your keys, and I'm standing there, and I've got one leg in your car, and I'm starting to go for the ignition. And you look at me like, what are you doing, stealing my car? And if I say to you, as I'm putting it in reverse and backing out your driveway, if I say to you, you know, I'm really sorry about this. I just feel terrible about this. I hope that you can forgive me and that you won't be too upset. And then I just drive off and then pull away, give you a little wave. Am I really sorry? In the same way with the Israelites, until they got rid of the foreign gods, were they really sorry at all? I would suggest to you that the answer, of course, is no. They just wanted God to fix it. Is that your relationship with God? Does he exist only to fix things for you? Only to make you happy? If so, you don't love him. You just love yourself. And your relationship with God is another manifestation of how you love yourself. But if you desire relationship, if you desire to have that closeness with him, if you want him to be Lord of your life, if you'll trust in Jesus alone for your salvation, then he will come and he will fill you and he will give you the presence of his Spirit. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And what we've just seen about God will be true with you. The end of verse 16 reveals something so wonderful, so heartbreakingly beautiful about God. And he could bear Israel's misery no longer. Y'all, this is God's character on display. That when you know him and when you love him, it does something. It's not just devotion to a path. It's not just a decision to proceed a certain way through life. It's a real relationship. And people say all the time, God loves you, God loves you. Yes, God loves you more than you will ever know. But he loves you enough to sometimes let you go your own way. Not permanently, he'll bring you back. But this love is nothing to be taken lightly. So keep that in mind. Verse 17. When the Ammonites were called to arms and camped at Gilead, the Israelites assembled and camped at Mizpah. The leaders of the people of Gilead said to each other, Whoever will launch the attack against the Ammonites will be head of all those living in Gilead. Jephthah, this is chapter 11, verse 1. Jephthah, the Gileadite, who was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. And pause right there. Y'all, you never know what the Lord is going to use to bring salvation. You never know what the Lord is going to use to bring deliverance, to bring change. And we're going to stop here for today. But what a mighty message this is. What a mighty God we serve. Do you really know Him? I hope so. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for this time, and we thank You that You and all of Your might and majesty have put Your character on display here. You've shown us who You are. And at the same time, with a painfully bright light, we can see who we are. That it's easy to be sorry about the circumstances we face, but to have a contrite spirit, to be truly sorrowful and broken over our sin, that's a different story. Yet You love us enough, and You are merciful enough to not quit working on us, to not stop making us more and more like Christ. And so, Father, we pray that You would give us a sense of purpose and also a dose of reality about our relationship with You. Help us to evaluate ourselves in light of Your word. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time today. I'm delighted to have this time with you. I think that the audio has been working okay. I hope that it has. And here's hoping that Sunday morning's audio will be a lot better as well. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. But until then, have an excellent day.